Thank you, worship team. I hope that you found that in your life, that God's been faithful to you through all generations, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's a solid rock on which we can stand. We've been in a series called Starting Point, and we're on the fourth lesson, kind of looking at the basics of our faith. And I've enjoyed that because sometimes it's good just to say where we come from in our faith, what's God doing now, where are we going, maybe sometimes answering some questions that we have, and looking at what are some foundational beliefs that are important to us, which goes right along with Easter that's coming up. It's kind of this theme has been following along about who Jesus is and why we need him and what that means in our life. Last week we talked about Abraham and how that he was saved through faith. And his faith, that he was kind of the father of faith, and we've been talking about that, that it's our faith that saves us, not our works. So today we're dealing with that question of, then why do we have the law? You can see the Ten Commandments. You know, Moses up here giving the Ten Commandments. Why would God give us the law if we're not saved by it? Can we just live any way that we want? It doesn't really matter. What does the Bible say about that? And so it's really foundational to our faith, and what's the role of rules that's in our life. I put on your introduction there and your outline about rules and religion, and part A is that rules are often the centerpiece of religious life. Many times it's rules that defines an organization, maybe a type of religion. If you were Islamic, then you would do the pillars of Islam, the five pillars of Islam. Jewish people would have their ceremonial laws, probably in their rituals, like we're going to be celebrating Passover coming up and a lot of those things. If you were Amish, you know, you'd probably dress a certain way, follow a certain amount of rules. If you're Baptist, you follow certain, probably some rules that are laid out. If you're Methodist, Catholic, you know, different rules. And sometimes we get confused because we think of those rules that identify us, you know, maybe as an organization are really what saves us. And sometimes churches get into that problem. You know, if you don't believe the Holy Spirit just like us, then you're not really saved. If you're not baptized just like us, you're not really saved. If you don't follow this list of do's and don'ts, then you're not really saved. And it confuses people because we're not saved by those rules, but they're guidelines for us, and they're there for a purpose, but we're saved through our faith in Christ. So, but many times it's the rules that are the centerpiece of our religious life can be confusing for us at times. Part B there, rules always assume a relationship. There's always a relationship between the person who establishes the rules and sets them up and those who are obeying them. It's always involved. And one model is the family model we put on here for you, and that is that you don't get kicked out for disobeying the rules, you're just disciplined. Hopefully you came from a family where they didn't kick you out if you just messed up on one of the rules. Sometimes maybe we're disciplined, maybe we're, I guess, separated for a while because of some of those things, but you're still part of the family. And, you know, you usually set up that parental relationship, hopefully, before you establish the rules. And so, like, you probably establish some rules for your kids. You probably wouldn't do those same rules for your neighbor's kids. You might like to, because you see how disorganized they are and the problems. You'd like to set those, but you don't. Now, maybe if they come over to your house, you can say, well, the rules of my house, you've got to follow those. But generally, there's a relationship set up before the rules, and that's a family model that we're looking at. And then there's second is the club model. Maybe you've been a part of a club. Maybe it's where you work. You sign a contract, maybe before you go to school. If you break those rules that are established here, you're out. So the club mindset is that if you don't live up to those, then you're not going to be able to stay in that club. So I put on your outline for you the club model. You are in or out based on your compliance with the rules. The problem is sometimes we get confused because God functions from the family relational model, and we kind of function from the club model. So we think, well, I messed up again. I didn't do the rule that I knew God wanted me to do. I know that this is the way I should live, but I didn't, so I think I'm out. I think God won't love me anymore. I think God's not on my side anymore. I think I'm not a Christian anymore. You ever felt like that? We get to feeling like we're in this club model mindset. Instead, we're in the family model. And so I put on your outline for you under C that with God, relationship precedes rules. And you see all through Scripture that he established relationship with us, not based on the rules, but the rules come following that relationship. He operates under the family model rather than the club model. So I want to give you a little review as we get into this lesson today on how God established a relationship with the people of Israel before he gave them the Ten Commandments, and also about how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. Remember, we talked last week about Abraham and how God made this promise to him. He was going to be the father of a great nation of people, but then he had no children. So all through his life, he was praying and hoping that he'd have a children. Not until older age did he have a child. One, because they kind of did it on their own, took Sarah's servant Hagar and had Ishmael as a child. And there was kind of a nation that came from them. And then there was Sarah, who later gives birth to Isaac. And so Abraham, he dies without seeing the promise fulfilled that a big nation would come from him. He was just a father. So he was a father of these two sons. But then Isaac had a son named Jacob, whom God named Israel. And remember that Jacob had 12 sons, and out of that comes the 12 tribes of Israel. So this great nation comes from Isaac through Jacob and on. So God fulfills that. But then you remember, because they disobeyed God, they're in this relationship with God. You know, the rules aren't even there, but they worship idols, they turn against God. God sends them off into exile into Egypt, 400 years. That's a long time. But God's still with them. He hasn't deserted them. He still wants to bring them back, so he sends Moses along as a deliverer to bring them out. He still remembers his promise to the people, brings them out of bondage, and they go through the wilderness. And so it's 3 months after they leave Egypt, they come to Mount Sinai, and then God gives them, through Moses, these Ten Commandments. That's a law. But God's been in relationship with them way before that, even through the plagues and leading them out. It's all by faith. They had to trust God. They couldn't get out of bondage by themselves. They couldn't leave Egypt by themselves. They couldn't cross the Red Sea by themselves. So in all this process, God still is in relationship with them, and he binds them in a relationship much before he gives them the rules. But let's look at Exodus chapter 20, where you'll find the Ten Commandments, the first three verses I want to read with you, and you'll see here that God still emphasizes relationship even before he hits the rules. Verse 1, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. So before he ever started giving them the Ten Commandments, he says, I'm your God, I'm your father, I've been your source of security, I've brought you out of Egypt, I've provided for you, I've kept you from disasters. And then he says, you must not have any other God but me. So his number one thing is stay in relationship with me. Don't betray me. Don't go worshiping these other gods. It's about a relationship. And then he goes on and gives these Ten Commandments. The first commandment is, you shall not have any other gods before me. Again, a relational one. So here's the key. The Ten Commandments were a confirmation of, not a condition of, Israel's relationship with God. And I put this as a key thought for today on your outline for you. Rules are confirmation of, not a condition of, a relationship with God. God gave rules to people he was already in relationship with. He already had blessed. He already had sought them. And so the rules that we live out in our life when we're trying to serve God, it's not a condition of God's favor for us. It's not a condition that's going to save us. It's a confirmation that because he loves us, he wants us to live this way. He wants to bless us. And if you go through all what God gives them in Exodus and these rules, he gives it for their good. He said, if you follow these, you're going to be blessed. If you go into this, and there's a big, long list of blessings that God will bless you if you follow and live this way, but if you don't, these curses are going to come upon you. It's going to be bad for you. Not that you're out of relationship with me or I'm deserting you because you're my people, you know, and I'm your father, but these are the way that you should live. So there's a reason, not for their salvation. You see, the Jews, they thought that all of these rules became a condition. They became a list of job description, that you become a follower of God, but that's not what he meant from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning, everybody was saved by faith and their relationship to God and their love for God. As a matter of fact, you could not obey these rules unless you're in a right relationship with God. And so that's the important key, is that our faith and our relationship with God must precede these rules. So I want to take you to another passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 3. It's kind of a lengthy one, but I think you can. It's good for up to Easter, and it talks about the faith. Why is it that God gave us these rules? Because they're important. The problem is, you know, even in Paul's day, they thought, well, if we're saved by faith, then we can go live any way we want. I mean, the world says, you know, be immoral. It says, do all these other things, rob, steal, cheat people. It doesn't matter how you live. If we're saved by faith, it doesn't matter. And Paul says, and James says, if you're studying the book of James, no, it does matter. These rules aren't saving you, but they are an essence of who you are. And they're important that you keep them. So why do we need to keep the rules? And what is that role? It's not the club style that we're going to get kicked out of our faith if we disobey them, but there's some other very important things that these rules do for us in our life. So let's read Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and following. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well, then, if we emphasize this faith, does this mean that we can forget the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us through your scripture today the reason for rules, that we would not be bound into the rules as a way of salvation, but we would understand the importance of rules and what it does for us and helps us in our spiritual life and what's the goal of God giving them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Four things from this passage I want to share with you about the purpose of God's law. The first thing is to make us conscious of sin. One of the primary purposes of the law is to expose sin. The law is like a mirror to show us if our behavior is looking like God or not. And without a mirror, you won't know what you really look like. Without the law, we often do not know if we're pleasing or displeasing God. As we read in Romans 3, 19 to 20, it's these laws that show us how sinful we are. One commentary explains it this way. A transgression of a law is a violation of a standard. The law provides the objective standard by which the violations are measured. In order for sinners to know how sinful they really are, how far they deviate from God's standards, God gave the law. Before the law was given, there was sin, but after the law was given, sin could be clearly specified and measured. Each act or attitude could then be labeled as a transgression of this or that commandment or the law. I thought about that this week as Billy Graham passed away. You know, you've been watching that on the news, 99 years old. I don't think there's anybody who exemplified God or Christ any better than Billy Graham. You know, so many religious leaders we watch, they always fall to immorality, to a bunch of other stuff. He never did. He was always someone that you could look at and say, that person's living for God. He always protected himself, you know, from those type of things. But on the radio this week, they did some songs, and they had a lot of sayings and stuff that he did. And one of them that was stuck out to me as I was studying this scripture, he said, you know, there's several times in my life where I got close to death, thinking maybe I would die. And he said in those times, I never thought that I would go up before God and say, I'm a good preacher. You know, I've pastored so many things, you know, and I've had all these evangelistic crusades, and I've seen so many people won to the Lord. He said, when I stand before God, I'm going to say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus for salvation. He understood that. He preached that. You know, someone who you could look on and say, that person, I probably exemplified living by the law more than anybody else, but he understood that he was a sinner, and that's what the law does when you understand God's word. It shows, and we talked about that last week, it's not just sins of omission or sins of commission that we commit. It's things that we should have done that we didn't do, that we're still held accountable. It's not just the actions that we're held accountable to, it's our attitudes of our heart that are sometimes sinful and wrong. And Billy Graham understood that. And that made him a great evangelist because he could preach the gospel that we're not saved because we're perfect. We're saved because of what Jesus did for us. And that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. So when God gave us the law, and then when Jesus explained it in such a way that none of us could live up to it, it showed us our need for a Savior. And so we ought to praise God for giving us that. Now we can see that where we fall short and how we need God's grace. The second purpose of God's law testify to the righteousness that comes through faith. Because when we realize we can't live up to it, then God reveals that it's done through faith, and it shows us that actions in faith are what makes us righteous. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm not going to take you there today, but there's a list of incredible list of heroes of the faith. It's kind of the hall of fame of faith. And all these people were obedient to God. It says that they were blessed of God, but it also every time it says they were obedient, it says by faith. So by faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham left his country, right, and went to a country he did not know. By faith, he believed that God was giving him a son, even in an older age. By faith, he offered up his son as a sacrifice. It was by faith he was obedient to God. It says there, by faith, Moses. By faith, Moses was pleasing to God, even though he gave the Ten Commandments. By faith, David killed Goliath. By faith, Rahab, you know, she saved the people that they were trying to catch. And it was by faith that they were made right with God. And it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever wants to draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. See, the Jews made a mistake. They turned the law into a checklist for salvation. And Jesus had to come and say, that's not what it is. Israel twisted the Mosaic law into legalism, and they severed it from the foundation of faith. But the only reason it saved them was by their faith. It's by our faith in God that we live out the law. So Jesus comes and he says, you know, the whole law is summed up in two commandments. Remember what they were? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. If you don't do that, you can't live out the rest of it. You know, it's about a relationship. When you love God and through faith you believe in him, through faith you believe that if you live the right life, it's going to be a blessing to you, then you follow it. If you don't believe that and don't believe in God, just go out and party. You know, what else does it mean? I mean, if there's not eternal life, why don't you just live for today and just use up your life and waste it? But when you believe, when you have faith in God, when you know that he gives me these detailed things about how I should live in a family, how I should treat others, then I will follow it if I believe. And then also, if you love other people, you're gonna fulfill the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to cheat and steal and lie and covet what somebody else has because I love them. You know, so it's a matter of faith and love that enables you to fulfill the law. And all the people who tried to do it without being in a relationship with God and they tried to make it their checklist for salvation, they couldn't do it. Because the Bible says that, you know, the law has no ability to keep us from our flesh. Our flesh is going to take over and do it. But when we live by the Spirit, when we live by faith and the love of God, then that overflows and we fulfill the law. So really the law comes to point to faith and shows us our need for faith and how that we can fulfill it through faith and our relationship with God. Number three, and I think maybe this is what we need to hear as a congregation, as a church, as a people, is the purpose of God's law is to help us reflect God's glory. It said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. When we sin and we don't obey God's law, we don't glorify God. If we follow God's law, he said, this is what God's character is. The Ten Commandments, and that is God's character. Love is God's character. When we live out that, we're showing God. When we don't live it out, we're not showing God to others. So we're not saved by the law, but you know what? If we don't live it, we're not glorifying God. And I thought about that this week. We just went to a financial seminar yesterday, and they gave us a bunch of statistics, which were very shocking, about like maybe one in four people now, the younger generation, believe in God or will follow God or come to church once a month. It's changed in the past 10 years. And I thought, I wonder, is it possible, because we have failed to live by the law because we thought it wasn't important, just throw it out, that we weren't a witness for Christ and we could lose a whole generation because of it. A younger generation looks on and says, they don't really have faith. They don't really love, right? I grew up, I saw some Christians, they weren't loving God. They put everything else first in their life. They weren't loving people. They just condemned people. And so I wanted to toss it out. And I think, did the younger generation do that? Is it possible? And I don't want to put a blame on myself, but is it possible? I think it's possible. I think as the church has said, these rules aren't important. I don't have to love people or love God like I should, or I can put those on the side burner, that the next generation says, I don't think there's anything to that faith. There's no difference in living like the world. So we're saved and we're going to heaven, but we could lose a whole generation following us because we didn't think it was important to live by the rules. It's kind of shocking, but I think it could be true. Because we need to reflect God, and they need to see God in us, and when they see that, they want to follow it. Have you known somebody that's been really godly? I can remember a person in college that, you know, they used to talk about being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, but that person was. And whenever you're around them, you're just drawn to, there's something special about them. Billy Graham was that way, you know, and attracted people to God. And that's why I think that God has given us the laws, not that we're saved by that, but, you know, if we'll follow those, we're going to give glory to God. We're going to reflect God in our love that we have for Him and our love that we have for one another. So it's important, even though it's not our source of salvation, it's a great source to our witness. Number four, the purpose of God's law is to be a sign marking those who have faith. It's a sign that we do have faith. And again, if we believe in God, we're going to live for eternity, not live for today. If we believe in Him, it's going to show in the way that we treat others. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, all men will know that you are my disciples by what? By the love that you have for one another. If you love me, and you know, early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer. They loved to get together. They loved to seek the Lord because it was important to them in their life. That was their first priority in life. And then it worked its way out. Anybody that had a need, they were helping meet the need. They were giving of themselves. They put their resources together so no one was hungry. No one had clothes and needed that. We're going to get more to that in the future days, I'm sure, as probably even the government can't support and help all the people that are going to have needs. The church can be that. But when we love God like that, and we love other people like that, it's going to be a sign of true faith. And it's going to be a sign of true believers. It's interesting, too, they said that most people in this seminar we heard yesterday attend smaller churches. Majority go to smaller churches. We still have a place. A lot of it, you know, has gone down as far as probably as a nation. There's a lot less people that go to church than used to. The bigger churches a lot of people go to, but we still have a place as a smaller church. We still have that witness. We probably have the opportunity to live out the Great Commission and loving people even in a greater way and meeting the needs of people than some of the bigger churches do. So it's important that we understand that it's love for God and love for others is the key. It makes us a sign that people will say, that's a group I want to go to. They said that most people don't trust the church anymore. That's why a lot of people don't even come to church, or they don't trust pastors anymore. So we have to work much harder at keeping ourselves right and following the rules even of the state so that people can't look down on us and say they're not really living for Christ. So what's the purpose of God's law? Let me just summarize it up for you. The purpose of God's law is to reveal when we're not living by faith in God. So if you've been convicted by something that God says you should be living different, then it's not like He's kicking you out of the family. It's not like you're out. But He's saying maybe you need to redirect. Come back to me. Let's reunite and find the witness that you need to have. The purpose of God's law is to point us toward the way of righteousness that comes through faith. Don't try to work your way into heaven. Don't try to condemn yourself because of those failures. But realize it's faith in God. And when you start believing in God again, and then you'll start obeying Him. And when you love Him, you'll be able to obey Him. So what you need to focus on is, do I really believe in Him? Am I trusting Him? Do I love Him? Because all those trials and hardships of life will try to pull you away from your relationship with God. When the important thing is being in a right relationship with Him, and then those rules work out by themselves. The purpose of God's law is to show us how to glorify God through reflecting His image as we express our faith in love and obedience. And the purpose of God's law is to offer a sign of obedience on those who are saved by faith. For we are not saved by works, but works show that we already are saved through faith. People studying the book of James, they would say that it's not that we're saved by our works, But if you are saved and you're trusting God, it's going to show up in the way that you live. Application section here is your faith in God, rules-based or relationship-based. And I think that's always, we always swing back towards rules-based. And I've been a Christian for all my life, and I'm old. But, you know, it's still, for me, I start thinking, God's not going to accept me, doesn't love me because I disobeyed some rule. Or I didn't have my devotions, or I wasn't faithful in this spot. I guess God's blessing's not with me. It's not true. I mean, Satan beats you up with that all the time. You need to understand God's your Father. You're in a relationship with Him. That's not an in or out thing. Yes, you might be disciplined. You know, I've been disciplined plenty of times, probably need some more times. But God has not kicked me out. He has not forgotten about me. He still loves me and still will bless me when I follow Him in His life. Do you view God as your Father or as your judge? And do you obey God's rules, hoping to earn His favor, or do you obey His rules to bring Him glory and to help others see Christ in you? I think it will help you if you get past that, I have to do this to be a good Christian, to get to the point, I want to do this because it's going to bring glory to God, and it's going to be a good witness to Him, and other people will see it in me. There's a difference between I have to do this and I want to do this because I want to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would speak to each of us where we need to hear it. I know You've spoken to me where areas of my life that I sometimes lack faith or I forget about love. And Lord, the rules are for our benefit. The rules are to help us be an example for You and to show us our need. Maybe some people today realize they feel condemned because of something that they've done. Lord, they can just bring it to You and ask forgiveness and it's covered. And we want to obey You, Lord, not because we think that we're earning Your favor, but because we want to bring glory to You and exemplify You to our family and to the next generation. Help us to be motivated to love others as You love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together with me.